God loves the world. We know that. And he loves his people. And he always wants to be with us. When you look at the tabernacle and what is said about it, I think that the tabernacle is an opportunity for us not to worry about measurements, but rather the tabernacle is a peek into the heart of God. I like to think of it that way. The tabernacle is a peek into the heart of God because it tells us that he not only wants to walk with us, he wants to live among us. In fact, the last 16 chapters of the book of Exodus are all about the building of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle, I think, is, in a sense, God's temporary Garden of Eden. Remember, they got kicked out of Eden because of sin. But the tabernacle is God's way, his place of bringing back man in order to dwell on earth among humanity. And we see that as we picked up the reading in verse 42. He says, there in that tabernacle, I will meet you to speak there unto you. I'll meet you and I'll speak with humanity. I think that that really is the desire of God from all eternity. That's the reason he made us, because he wants that kind of relationship with us and fellowship together with us. That's God's desire. There's a second thing that I want to say. Not only, of course, God likes you is what I'm trying to show you through this. Not only God's desire, but God's drawn to you. He's drawn to you. I remember as a kid how it excited me inside to discover that a little girl liked me. You remember those days? Because it simply meant that she was interested in me. She was drawn to me. I say that because to me, it's more exciting to know that that God likes me than to think that he loves me. It stirs my heart more because God's nature is love. God is love. And so it's like, you know, he feels an obligation to love because that's who he is. But do you know that he likes you? He not only loves you, he likes you. He may not like what you do, but his focus of interest is in you. And he likes you. And he's drawn to you. There are different people that you love because you're supposed to love them. And then you have relationships with people that you like, the ones that you want to get close to, the ones that you want to spend time with, the ones that you want to seek out fellowship with and enjoy a personal relationship with. It may not be the people that you're supposed to love, but it's people that you like. And I just want you to know that God desires and God is drawn to you because God likes you. Doesn't just love you, he likes you. He wants to be with you. Very simply then, I have a question for us tonight. If you believe God likes you, and you should, very evident, do you like God? Do you like God? Did you know that the tabernacle was deliberately set up right in the middle of the encampment of the Israelites? All the 12 tribes pitched their tents around the tabernacle, which was in smack dab center of the encampment. That tabernacle was the place where God dwelt. It was the place of God's presence. It's where God said, I will meet with you. I will speak with you. In other words, God was to be the center of their daily life. And you know what? That truth should resonate because that's always been God's desire, to be the very center of human life, not just the Jewish people, but our lives, to be the center of it. So, do you like God? He likes you. Do you like him back? If you like God, then you desire him like he desires you. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says that our bodies are tabernacles. We read in 1 Corinthians 6 that the body of the believer, the life of the believer, is the tabernacle or the temple of God. It's the place where God tabernacles. Our tabernacles, our bodies as believers, are the place where God tabernacles. Where we dwell is where God dwells. And the key element in the believing life is that daily worship of God is to be the center of our lives. Because we're the tabernacle and the place of his presence is in us. And so our lives ought to be all about daily worship. In fact, if you think about it like I do, I have never met an effective believer who was not also consistent in their daily devotional life, in their meeting with the Lord, in their worship of the Lord. I think that if you are ever going to be a believer that likes God, you're going to have to be sure to establish a daily time in his presence if you haven't already done that. A daily time in the presence of God that will also enable you to carry his presence with you throughout the entire day. That God positions himself in the middle of your life. He does that purposely so that you have to look at him, so that you look at him, so that you talk to him. He wants to tabernacle with you. He wants to dwell with you. He wants to meet with you. He wants to speak with you. And if you like God, like he likes you, you'll desire that. In fact, as he desires you and is drawn to you, you'll desire him. You'll also be drawn to him. Your heart will be drawn out to God. And if that's true about you, if your heart is drawn out to God, if it's seeking him, you will daily be seeking to draw near him. James says, if you will draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to you. You draw near, he'll draw nigh to you. Now, understand, it's not that you're taking the first step, because if you want to draw near to God, it's because he's moved in your heart to have that desire. You will draw near to God. You will respond to God's desire to you and that he's drawn to you. You'll respond to that by drawing near to him. And you know what? James goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Mourn and weep. And in other words, if you like God, you'll be drawn to him. Whatever the cost, whatever it might cost you to be clean, to be cleansed, to get right with God, or to get right with other people, because if you're not right with other people, you're not right with God. And so you will cleanse your hands, you will purify your heart, you'll mourn over your sin. You'll do whatever you have to do to be obedient to God's will. You know what? That's why God allows difficulties and sorrowful circumstances to enter your life as a believer. It's to drive you into his presence. It's to draw you to himself because he's drawn to you. It's to make you want to like him. To draw you to himself, into his presence and into his word, where his presence is opened to you. So if you like God, you'll desire him, you'll be drawn to him. And one way that will drawing will be evidence is that you'll be drawing near to him. But you know what else? If you draw near to him, you'll be drawing others to him. You draw near to him, you'll be drawing others to him. And you'll do it both by the life that you live, which will be attractive to others, and by the words that you say. The actions, as well as your words, will draw others to him. I think of what the psalmist says in Psalm 51. You're very familiar, I'm sure, with the 51st Psalm, where David confesses his sin to the Lord, where he says, "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity." But then later on in that chapter, in the 10th verse, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me by thy free spirit." Then, hear that key word? Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And what he's saying is, until I'm clean with God and with men, I can't expect to draw others to Jesus. I have to be drawn to him, and whatever the cost is, be cleansed by him. And when that cleansing takes place, others will be drawn to me, to Jesus. Then will I teach transgressors thy way. If you like God, it'll become evident to other people. And you know what? As a result, they'll end up liking God too. The God of the Bible likes you, and he wants to get close to you. When God promised Israel that land of Canaan, that promised land, that was a piece of real estate, small, but a piece of real estate where God's people could dwell with him, and they could look up to him, and they could say, "We belong to him. We like him. He made us. He gives us life. We're his, and he's ours, and we like the relationship." You know, if you like someone, you let them invade your space. If you like someone, you let them come in and do what they will. Do you like God? If you like God, is your home, is your workplace, or your work period, or your free time, does it belong to him, or is it yours? Is all that you have accessible to your friend, to God? Is he longing this evening for you to look up to him and to say, "I like you. This little world that I live in, God, is yours. I want you to be in the center of it." Because you know what? That's ultimately what's going to happen. Everyone talks about heaven. Everyone's happy about going to heaven someday. You know what heaven is? The tabernacle of God is with men. That's what it is. It's God's eternal purpose being fulfilled, that he will dwell with his earthly family forever. And if that's not your concept of heaven, then you have the wrong concept. God likes us. He likes you. He desires you. He's drawn to you. And you have to answer the question in your heart of hearts tonight: do you really like God? Because if you do, you'll be spending a lot of time with him. You won't be ignoring him. You won't be doing things without him. If you like God, he'll be a part of every aspect of your life, and he'll have access to everything that pertains to you. Otherwise, don't say that you like God, let alone love him. Right? Okay. Let's pray.